today on Rocking the Suburbs.
Yeah, just put their Metallica twist on it. Yeah, yeah, I see that for sure.
Hey, this is Jim.
Thanks for tuning in to Rockin' the Suburbs. If you listened to yesterday's episode, you heard Stephen Rutledge and Mike Coley breaking down Metallica's new album, 72 Seasons. And we thank Mike and Stephen very much for doing this. It's so good, in fact, that we decided to break it into two installments, two different episodes. If you have not listened to yesterday's, go back and do that. It's still available for you. If you have already, then here you go. This is Mike and Stephen discussing disc two of the double album, 72 Seasons by Metallica.
So, so that leaving behind Lux Eterna, we then move on to Crown of Barbed Wire and to start sort of the second half. And any thoughts on this one, Mike?
I don't have any thoughts, to be honest with you. I don't know. It just didn't stick with me, apparently. I didn't take any notes on that one. It just kind of reflects some old themes that they've done in the past, and that's about all I have for that. It's one of the songs that didn't really grab me. I'll probably have to give it a few more listens.
Well, we're quite often in agreement on our Metallica thoughts, Mike, aren't we? So, this for me, I'm totally with you on this one. This for me is a start of a run of three songs that really I think they could have excised from the album, used as B-sides or whatever, bonus tracks or stuff like that, and given us a 9-track sub hour album, which would have probably elevated its status more, I think, than given a higher rating, because for Crown of Barbed Wire and Chasing Light, which follows it, and then If Darkness Had a Son, but to a slightly lesser extent, they're just sort of almost like paint by numbers Metallica, kind of like here's a slice of Metallica.
Right.
Here's another slice of Metallica. Whereas a lot of the other songs we've talked about, okay, this catches already, this is inventive, this sounds fresh, you know. Whereas these three, certainly for me, and certainly this one and the Chasing Light, I was like, yeah, they're just fine. And again, put them on St. Anger or Reload and they're like standouts. But yeah, that's more indicative of the quality of those albums rather than these songs, you know.
Yeah, that one's, the two songs that we kind of are in agreement on is not being standouts would definitely fit on Sin Anger or Reload. And so, I mean, you know, we talked about it in the past. Not horrible, but not their best work either.
Yeah, no, yeah, I think you mentioned like the self-editing or like that era of awe. Yeah, obviously, with Metallica being such a major artist and band, you know, yeah, they get to do what they want. Yeah, the record company, yeah, they just do the, yeah, they are no boundaries for them now. They're at such a level and have been for so long now that they can, you know, you're not going to have a producer say to them, no, don't do this, because we want to do it anyway. And we're Metallica, so we're going to do what we want, you know. But part of me does kind of wish, like, I wonder if that would. I wish they had a producer really cracking a whip saying no, you know, who had kind of that relationship with them, who could say no a few times and they'd listen to them, you know what I mean?
I
think had they had that, we could be talking about an album that's up there with the sort of the big sort of big four.
Yeah, like you said, if they could have cut maybe three songs out, use them as B-sides or something, you know, don't completely discard them, but If they had cut three songs or so off of this album, it would have been a great, great, great album. Whereas with the length of it and the quality of some of these songs, it's a good album.
Yeah, I say it's good. an overall grading is it's good, but it's excellent in a lot of parts.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. There's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot of, you know, unfortunately, in the days of streaming or making your own playlist of it, you can easily make that 9-song playlist for edit version of the album and, yeah, do the producer's job for them. Okay, well, we're not dwell too long on Kind of Barbed Wire or Chasing Light, and then that goes into If Darkness Had a Son, which I think of these three is the best of those three. The bass guitar standing out again for me in that.
Kirk's got a great solo in this one.
He has got a great solo in this one. That's the one, again, the comments that I've made, the section from about 3:40 in and then goes into the solo. And Kirk does this, he does it more than once on this album, actually, but it's really prominent on this track. He does a little, like, he stutters his bends to match the snare hits. And it's really effective. That's probably some of what's catching your ear there, because it almost feels like the song is slightly changing tempo, because the lead guitar and the snare drum are doing the same sort of staccato thing at the same time,
mm-hmm.
and it almost makes you feel like the needle's skipping or something like that. You know, it's a subtle but effective, you know, relatively simple technique, but quite effective. And I'm glad you noticed the solo on that one, because yeah, I certainly did. Yeah, no. So, so even when things are not as good as we'd like, there's still really good stuff in there as well. So, you know, don't be too down on it overall, folks. But moving on to Too Far Gone, which is the next one, and I already know that I think you quite like this track, Mike. So, I'm going to play this actually from towards the end, if that's all right, rather than from the start, because I think it'll benefit from that. So if we'll have it listened to Too Far Gone.
The harmony vocals, that's something different for Metallica, and something I really took away from that song, along with the.
I'm guessing also maybe the drumming was more to your met more of your approval on that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, this is my favorite song on the whole album, actually.
This is the one I've listened to the most, for sure. You know, I listened to the whole album front to back 3 times in a row, and then I kept going back to this song after the fact. It's just one of their best songs, I think, in the last 20 years at least.
Yeah, I mean, we've got along with the title track, we've got 3 songs here that are like easily as good as stuff they've done in the heyday. You know, Yeah, I obviously love this song and this album, because I mean, I wanted to play it from the sort of going into that solo, because it captured a lot of the stuff. Cause it finishes strong, this song. It kind of it doesn't fade out or sort of stagger to the finish. It like rushes to the finish. Finishes really strong, and it also, you hear the harmony guitar parts that kick in there as well. This, again, it's a callback to the sort of the Ride and Master era kind of stuff, which they've not done so much of, mm-hmm. that in recent years. and but also I really love the chorus on this because it's got that kind of I don't know if this is what maybe caught your ear in it as well, Mike, but it's got that unexpected melody twist in James's vocal in the chorus part.
Yeah, I did notice that right away.
Yeah, and I was pondering, well, why is that standing out so much? And here's my theory, right? Tell me if I'm wrong, Mike, but here's my theory, is that when we talked about Reload, we said they sounded like Metallica trying to be an alt-rock band.
Right.
Whereas on this track, they've taken a melody type line that doesn't really fit in a metal song, but they've turned it into something Metallica in a way that works because they've got that fast, you've got the fast galloping underneath it. And it's like, it feels like, yeah, they were aiming for something different, but they didn't dilute what they were. They just took sort of something else and Metallica-ized it.
Yeah, just put their Metallica twist on it. Yeah, yeah, I see that for sure. I think they're just so much more comfortable as a group together now. It took them this many years to finally mature into themselves, as good as they were in their early years and in some of their mid and later years. They were still a very immature band, and they were still, chirping away at each other and having conflict within the band. I think now they're at a point where we're old dudes now. We're just gonna have fun now, and I think that's what this album exhibits, is just these guys just having fun now, and they're locked in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to pull something forward from what you said there from my sort of summary comments, but and another side note is this does not sound like the music made by guys who are turning 60 this year, does it?
No, not at all.
they sound in good voice, but. Yeah, you say about the comfort level. That again, that's exactly what I've put in my notes. Is what it made me think back was to Some Kind of Monster, and when they're doing the auditions for the bass player to replace Jason, and they're talking about Robert before we know that it's Robert, kind of in the film context, and Lars says it hadn't felt playing with him they hadn't had that feeling since Cliff in the room. Playing with it, and I think finally we've got to the stage where we've got that back on record.
Mm-hmm.
That feeling that they had playing with Robert that gave them that vibe.
I mean, he's been with them for 20 years now, right?
Yeah,
the new kid,
yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, he's the longest serving bass player they've had, but it's finally distilled, as you said, they've matured into guys who are comfortable enough to do this, pull it all together. And it not just be the James and Lars show,
Right.
And, I think that's the benefit of the band and obviously for us as fans and listeners, So, but yeah, no, really, yeah. I'm glad we're in agreement on that because it absolutely stood out like a sore thumb to me, that track. I was like, whoa, hello, what we got going on here? and noticeably after, it's also the second shortest song after Lux Eterna.
So, maybe we're onto something here.
Maybe we are, Mike. Maybe that's just maybe we should audition the two of us to produce the next Metallica album.
Keep it short, stupid.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, so we've after a bit of a dip of the previous few songs, we're back on a high, and I think it keeps going with Room of Mirrors, Mike. I don't know whether you agree with me, but for Room of Mirrors, I said it's another thrash throwback banger, really.
It is. And I noticed a little kind of an Iron Maiden dual guitar going in the outro.
Yeah. Again, it's much like in Too Far Gone, they've got the harmony guitar parts, which kicks in at 3 minutes 40, which is also the point in If Darkness Had a Sun where things get interesting as well. So I think something in the water there that around about 3 minutes 40 they get interesting. It's kind of got that throwback harmony parts like that obviously they've taken from Iron Maiden, or actually Iron Maiden I think took from Wishbone Ash, but obviously made famous by Maiden and obviously a huge influence on Metallica, and they used it a lot more in sort of the Ride and Master years. But I think also like Too Far Gone as well, it finishes strong. It gallops towards the finish. It doesn't, it's just, it races to the end. You know, it's only a 5.5 minute song. It's not too long, and it's like eager to get going and on to the next thing. You know, and just another really, really good, really strong song.
I dig it.
Yeah, no, we're on the same page there, Mike. Well, that brings us to Inamorata, which is the closing track on the album. And I would understand if listeners get apprehensive at this point, but stay with us. at 11 minutes and 12 seconds, it is the longest song Metallica have recorded on any of their studio albums, not including Lulu, because obviously that was a collaboration. And yeah, as we mentioned before, all the songs on Lulu feel like they're about 30 minutes long, but they certainly do to my ears. But yeah, so we've got over 11 minutes, the longest song they've ever recorded, but it doesn't feel like it.
I was just going to say that. It doesn't feel like an 11-minute song. When it got done, I looked at I didn't believe it was already done. It went by. It's a quick 11 minutes, if that's possible.
Yeah.
And as much as we harp on them keeping the song shorter, this felt like a short song in a long song. I don't know how to explain it, but I think just the different parts of it and the way it was broken down. And
it's epic in the right ways.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great closing song for an album. That's what I wrote, epic closer.
Yeah, it's not epic in that it's just long. It's epic in sort of scale and ambition and what it's doing. I think, again, the lyrics mm-hmm. worked to me on this one as well. But, I mean, I put this down as it's a mid-tempo, you know, for Metallica. For a lot of bands, this would be a fast song, but it's a mid-tempo Metallica song. But it's a swaggering bruiser that is a gift that keeps giving. Because it's kind of got that, as we mentioned with You Must Burn, yeah, it's got that swagger that Sad But True had as well. But they just do a lot of different stuff from it. There's Kirk solo from about over 4.5 minutes in gives it that starter bend that I was talking about before with the snare and the sort of the bends on the lead guitar tying together. But then just after 5 minutes in, they break it right down to just the bass and the hi-hat. And then James busts out his sort of a fragile voice. Well, for the only time on the whole album, you know, he's been in fine fettle. But we get sort of sensitive change for a little bit. And then it builds back up and it really just hits harder for it all, I think.
Yeah. It's got all the parts that you want in a long song. You know, where it's just, it takes you up for a ride, then it brings you back down for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got the harmony part throwbacks, like you said, with the sort of Maiden reference. And do you know, honest, Mike, I got hints of Orion from parts of this as well, which is probably why we like it so much.
I did, yeah. I did get some, yeah. That's in my notes as well.
Yeah, it's and also, it like the last two previous songs, it finishes strong as well. Another good Kirk solo, you know, toward the end as well. Yeah,
it's the perfect way to close this album.
It's a perfect epic album track, because it's like you wouldn't put this out as a single, but you can have an 11-minute epic to finish up your album, and as long as you get it right, like they did with this, it's fantastic. So, okay, well, let's take a listen to that, Mike. I'm going to play it from a little way into the song, just to give us a bit of flavour of the different sort of way we go. So let's have a listen to that.
She's not.
press stop on that one, Mike, and it just keeps going, and you're like, oh man, should we just let it play out for the full remaining sort of 5 minutes or so?
that guitar theme, I can't think of the song, but it kind of reminds me of a Sabbath song, and I'm trying to figure out which song it is, but it's like a Black Sabbath 4, I think, or Black, I can't remember the name of the song, but it's got that.
I'm sure one of our community members will be in touch to point out the error of our ways for not recalling that. But
I'll be searching through the Sabbath archives after we get done here.
Well, there we go, Mike. We've reached the end of 72 seasons. It's not taken us 18 years to get through it all. Folks have probably picked up our general feeling on the album is that it's with a little bit of judicious pruning, it'd be a classic, and it's as it is. We'll just take it as being very good, you know.
Yeah. If you're a fan of Metallica, you're going to like this album.
Exactly. Yeah. For those who drifted away after the 90s and like gave up, it's like really if this one doesn't get you back on board, then you probably don't like thrash metal anymore. because there's so much good stuff in here to enjoy, and hopefully we've highlighted the best of it for folks to listen. One thing I did want to bring up, Mike, because you mentioned about Record Store Day and having it in your hands yesterday, and I know folks will be aware, or most people will be aware, that Metallica bought Furnace Records, the vinyl manufacturing or printing place that Jim and Patrick went to and visited, because it's in Virginia, I believe, not a million miles from them.
Yeah.
And if you go back and listen to episodes 867 and 868, you can hear them talking to the guys there. But I was reading in the news, there was a news story on the BBC about Metallica. It was, this album went to number one in the UK, unsurprisingly, and it was like massively excellent, everything. But one of the things that I bring up the record, the buying up the record manufacturing place, was that they pointed out that because they'd have to produce so many copies of this on vinyl, they needed to sort of basically, the album needed to be finished 6 months in advance so they could have enough time to make enough copies of the record that they would need to sell.
Wow.
And the idea that it wouldn't leak if it was out with their control in that 6 month period was kind of, seemed impossible. So part of the reasoning behind them having their own record plant is that, well, we can completely control it and it's not going to get out there because someone's going to be too tempted to take a copy of the new Metallica album home early and it'll get onto the internet sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, smart business move there.
What is that? It's a little nugget that I don't know if I mentioned this explicitly when we were doing Metallica Week, but I think we kind of take for granted just how big Metallica are. They're not, obviously they're by far the biggest metal band that there's ever been, but the Black Album is the 18th best-selling album of all time.
That album was everywhere when it came out, so I mean it's...
Yeah.
And even people who don't listen to metal know who Metallica are, so
yes.
They're obviously huge. But yeah, you do forget how big they really are.
Yeah,
but when something like this happens, where they're slowly releasing singles and then the build up, and then they release their tour dates, and boom, that's all people are talking about. And it's all over the news, all over the media, the music media, and they're one of the biggest bands in the world.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it's just you can't compare them to other metal bands. You compare them to people like Fleetwood Mac and Pink Floyd and Elton John.
Mm-hmm. Weird as that may seem is to 13-year-old me, but yeah,
given the type of music that they make, it's quite staggering that they've achieved that. But anyway, talking of Metallica Week, if somehow you've just stumbled onto Rock in the Suburbs, normal service will be resumed shortly, but if you want to hear more of Mike and I talking about Metallica, you can go back to episodes 1482 to 1486, and when we break down the rest of Metallica's career and catalogue. And if that isn't enough, and you can hear us talking about Iron Maiden for a whole week, which is episodes 1333 to 1337. Yeah, it's been great to talk about this with you, Mike. Anything you want to add in summary and closing?
Just go pick up this album, listen to it. I picked it up, I put it back down, but I will be getting it for sure.
Pick it up, but be sure to pay for it and take it home. That's the
I mean, I've been streaming the heck out of it, so I may as well give them a little bit more of my money. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, they're probably need it to keep that wriggle plant rolling. But okay, well, we'll just wrap up then and say, if you've got any comments on what we talked about today with 72 seasons, we'd be delighted to hear what you got to say. You can contact the show. Our email is rock@suburbspod.com. It's @suburbspod on all the socials. You can get me on Facebook. I'm at Stephen Ratcher, Stephen Ratledge on Facebook. And Mike, people can get you.
I'm on Twitter at Mike Coley, and same on Facebook. Instagram, I am at SwampRat16. I also have a show on Saturdays on Rockin' Suburbs Radio called Walking at a Suburban Pace. You can hear from 11 to 1 Eastern Time every Saturday. And I have a ska show on Tuesdays called Marty Ska, which airs 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Rockin' the Suburbs Radio. And check out Rockin' the Suburbs Radio for all kinds of different stuff, too. There's so many great talents on that station, that platform, that plays a wide variety of things.
Indeed, and you may possibly hear some Metallica on there occasionally as well. So, I forgot the Suburban Party line, of course, Mike. If you want to ring in and leave a voicemail, like our good friend at Echo Park Jimmy, you can call 612-440-1984. And with that, we shall bid you a fond farewell.
Like he was struggling with it.
That's what I told Bob.
But do you know what I mean about, like, it, you know, some of the other guys, it was sort of 10% over their capabilities, mm-hmm. or something like yeah. that, and you don't feel that with this guy at all. It's like the last three songs, like Sanitarium, Nothing Else Matters, and what was those?
Sad.
Truly, they were flawless.
And looked over at him during Whiplash, and he was just right in the pocket and in there. And then afterwards, when he played it alone with his finger, it hadn't been played that way since Cliff.